SBS Radio.
1 in 3 of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's Happy program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under 6 or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Wadamalee, this is NITV Radio and I'm Kerry Lee Harding, and it's that time of the week again where we get to yarn all things science and technology with Wiradjuri woman and journalist Ray Johnston. Welcome back to the program, Ray.
Thanks for having me back, sis. How you doing?
I'm deadly, sis. Even though we're in lockdown, you're in lockdown in Sydney, but we're managing just to cope just fine, which is deadly.
That's it. I've got my health, I've got my family around me, I'm warm. That's the most I can ask for at the moment.
That's it. I've got a roof over my head and food in the cupboard and, you know, all the essential things. So I guess that's all that matters. And family, of course, as you just mentioned there, sis. First cab off the rank today, a program for Aboriginal kids is actually showing promising impacts on language and development skills. Do tell me more about this deadly story, sis.
Yeah, this is a good one. So research from the Murdoch Children's Research Institute and the Baker Heart and Diabetes Institute, which was commissioned by the Central Australian Aboriginal Congress. So it found that a culturally adapted early childhood program for Aboriginal children has shown some really promising impacts on their language and development and communication skills. And this is really important because in 2018, only 76% of 4-year-old Aboriginal children were enrolled in an early childhood education program, which is well below the closing the gap target, which is 95%. By 2025. And 2 in 5 Aboriginal children who started school in 2018 were also developmentally vulnerable. And globally, you know, Indigenous children face some of the greatest barriers to positive developmental outcomes and experience far greater education and health and social and economic disadvantage because of, you know, centuries of colonisation and assimilation and discrimination and racism. And we know that traditional cultural practices and a strong sense of cultural identity acts as a protective factor for children and families facing these challenges. But there weren't many studies evaluating how childhood education and care services can support Aboriginal children's learning and development in a culturally safe way. Mm. So a centre was opened in Alice Springs, and it's the only one of its kind, and it adopted this evidence-based, culturally adapted program that incorporated language and had a focus on family engagement and on play as well. And parents and carers and staff, they all reported improvements in the kids' social skills and independence, and also things like talking more and showing more interest in reading. And the researchers say that early childhood development programs like this need to be a priority leading into the future, especially when we're looking at that closing the gap target. So it's just a case of, you know, the research showing what we know works. When programs are adapted to suit the people that they're meant for, they work better. And I think this is a really positive thing. And, you know, shout out to those kids going to that school. I think that would be a fantastic experience for them.
Now we go from talking about Aboriginal kids and their language and development skills to talking about climate change and why the climate emergency cannot be fixed by technology alone, sis. Do tell me more.
Yeah, so because we haven't put in place any kind of significant emissions reductions over the past decades, when we should have, you know, we now need to reduce emissions really quickly, like we've never done before. And we can't keep temperature rises below 1.5 degrees using technology alone, which is what some people think that we can do. You know, if high-income countries continue to grow at their usual rates, we will need to decarbonize. We'll need to reduce the amount of carbon in our atmosphere by more than 12% a year, which will be a huge challenge. And there is this problem of thinking that we can rely on technology to capture and store carbon. So scaling up bioenergy with carbon capture and storage, that would need massive amounts of land and water to grow crops for biofuels. And direct air carbon capture and storage might avoid some of those problems, but it could use up to 50% of the world's current electricity generation to do it. And to be able to get to those carbon removal rates needed, like half the world's electricity. So scientists have, you know, they've been raising a lot of questions about the risks of negative emissions technologies and our reliance on them and how they're not going to be adequate to address the crisis that we are facing. And we're effectively gambling the future of humanity and the rest of life on Earth because of this assumption that the economy must keep growing in rich countries. Mm. So researchers for this study, they say that economic growth isn't necessary for social progress in already wealthy countries. You know, instead, human needs and well-being can be provided by reducing inequality and ensuring living wages and things like shortening the work week to maintain full employment and guaranteeing universal access to public health care and education, transportation, energy. You know, we don't need money and more of it to keep these wealthy countries going into the future. We just need to make them more equal. And by trying to continue to grow the economy of these already wealthy countries, we're shooting ourselves in the foot when it comes to reducing our emissions. So things like shifting from private cars to public transport, extending product lifespans by mandating warranties on products, and shifting people and making it easier to shift people to healthier diets, plant-based diets as well, and better urban planning. These are things that would, you know, make a much bigger difference leading into the future. They're things that we really need to be looking at because we are facing a huge climate emergency right now.
We certainly are, Sis, indeed. Now we go to more on the environment, how to rescue wetlands from human-driven mistreatment. Tell me more about this story, please, Sis.
Yeah, this is an interesting little one. So, you know, it might be possible to rescue struggling wetlands by mimicking, by copying the daily and seasonal tidal flooding levels in the healthier coastal wetlands. So researchers, they attempted to restore the Tamago wetlands, which is a coastal salt marsh known to be a habitat for migratory birds, and it's been put at risk by human mismanagement. And the team recreated that salt marsh habitat, you know, just on site in their lab with water levels based on similar vegetation patterns in a nearby estuary. And they used 2D modelling to work out the best way to get to their target water level on the site. They did this for 8 years, and I love long-term experiments where you can really see if things work or not. And they saw the salt marsh grew, and they suggest that this is a technique that needs to be used worldwide to rescue these struggling wetlands. I think it was a really interesting thing that they've discovered, and hopefully it can be put in place all around the world.
Such a positive story to yarn about on Science and Technology with you today, Ray Johnston. Now, our final topic of discussion for today is all about frogs, which I simply love. And you're going to tell me more how female frogs tend to choose unattractive males when there is a lot of traffic noise. How so, Sis?
Yeah, I could kind of relate to this one, a bit of a distraction. Yeah, so because of that traffic noise, female frogs, they might be missing out on some good mating opportunities because they can't hear the calls properly and they get distracted by the noise. And this research said that it could actually spell disaster for overall reproductive success and population survival in frogs living in urban areas if this kind of distraction and behaviour was widespread. So a female frog's quality of offspring, it depends on her ability to find and ultimately select a suitable mate by responding to his mating call. So, for example, the eastern sedge species, that male puts more effort into his calls and usually has the chance of winning the girl because the higher pitched and faster his calls, the more attractive he is to females of his species. Mm. And the reason for that is probably related to the fact that producing more calls per minute requires more energy, so you need to be in better condition to be able to do that. And with good food reserves and, you know, likely good genes, you know, that's the kind of thing that you need to be able to produce those really high-quality calls. Now, traffic noise, it seems to not really have any kind of effect on the male frogs, even though they usually follow the calls of other males to fight or to sneakily try to mate with females who might be around them. But it could be that increased stress and distraction caused by the noise affecting the female's ability to make good mating decisions. So the women are more distracted by the noise when it comes to frogs, and they're choosing worse men as a result.
Oh, dear me.
And look, hopefully there can be a bit of solution to this. Yeah, hopefully in the future when we've got, you know, electric vehicles that don't make much noise, we might see the frogs be able to choose better mates. That might be an outcome of technology being able to help with this.
Gotta love that one indeed. Well, that's about all for our science and technology segment for this week. As always, Ray Johnston, Wiradjuri woman and journalist, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. I can't wait for next week.
Oh, thanks for having me, sis. Appreciate it.
1 in 3 of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's HAPPY program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under 6 or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids HAPPY ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.